of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with life. This time, a true account of a one-man war against Nazism. A story that didn't get into the newspapers until the war was over, for obvious reasons. Unbelievable, but true.
I shall shoot the first German I see, and the next, and the next.
This is the voice of the night wind, and this is the tale I tell. It is a story that could not be told until the last shot in World War II had been fired. It begins in 1940. Over all Europe sprawls a sinister black shadow, the shadow of the Nazi swastika. Poland is in ruins. Arrogant, jackbooted stormtroopers are strutting through the streets of Denmark and Norway and Holland and Belgium. Paris has fallen, and the British are fighting in heroic retreat at Dunkirk. City after city in France is falling to the relentless advance of Hitler's hordes. In the great naval base of Brest, the mayor calls the population together.
Silence! Silence, please, my friends! The Germans are still more than 100 kilometers away. They are not expected to arrive in less than 3 days.
Let them come! We'll be ready!
It is our commandant's order that we shall not attempt to oppose them.
What? But we submit tamely to the dirty boss.
We are like a coward.
We cease to be Frenchmen. Gentlemen, please. It is imperative you should hear what I have to say. Our commandant points out, and as your mayor, I am bound to say I agree, that resistance would be futile. First, we have insufficient arms or ammunition. Second, any civilian captured bearing arms is liable to be shot without trial. And third, any resistance would not only be suicidal, but would spell the ruin of our beautiful historic city.
May I ask a question, monsieur?
But certainly, my friend.
What of the Arsenal garrison?
They will be instructed to lay down their arms at the appropriate time.
Is it proposed to let the docks and the naval installations fall into the German hands unharmed?
Certainly not.
Well, how are we going to stop it if we're forbidden to fight?
Have you never heard of dynamite, my friend? A great deal may be achieved in 3 days. Now, I beg of you to disperse and go quietly to your homes. For your own sake, you will dispose of any firearms you may possess and remain indoors during the occupation.
For the next 3 days, the great port shakes with the blast and thunder of gigantic explosions. The demolition gangs are doing their work well. Docks, ships under construction, slipways and machine shops are beyond repair, leaving a legacy of desolation and hopeless confusion for the advancing Germans. Though France may be falling, her spirit still lives in the people of Brest. In defiance of the commandant's order, the men of the city scrape together what arms they can, and in scores and in hundreds, they disappear into the countryside to join the Maquis. But there is one brave son of France who cannot get away. In a house on a hill, overlooking the naval dockyard, is a retired admiral of World War I, a grizzled veteran spending the evening of his life within sight of his beloved ships. His name? Well, does it matter? The first demolition explosions puzzle him. He calls for his servant.
Jacques! Jacques!
Yes, my admiral?
Your eyes are better than mine. Can you see any German planes in the sky?
There are none, sir.
Don't be ridiculous. There must be. What else could be causing those explosions?
It's a demolition gang, sir, blowing up the naval installations.
What on earth for?
So they won't fall into the hands of the Germans, my admiral.
Never heard such nonsense in my life. There's no spirit in warfare these days. You were telling me next, we're going to give up the city without a fight.
That's exactly what we are going to do, sir.
What?
The mayor called the people together this morning and told them, sir.
Do you seriously mean to tell me that a city of this size, full of people who call themselves Frenchmen, is just going to let the Boche walk in and take the place unopposed?
That seems to be the idea, sir.
I warrant the commandant will have something to say about that.
It's on his orders, sir.
Ah, I don't believe it.
That's what the mayor said. I was there, sir. I heard him myself.
Indeed. It looks as though I shall have to take a hand in this business myself. Fetch me my hat and stick, Jock. I'm going out for a while.
The old admiral's first port of call is at the mayor's office.
Preposterous. Utterly preposterous. Never heard anything like it in my life. If we capitulate now, we'll never be able to hold our heads up before the world again.
I'm sorry, my dear admiral. I understand exactly how you feel, but there's nothing I can do about it. The commandant's in charge, and all I can do is to see that his orders are obeyed.
A commandant, eh? I shall have a word or two to say to that gentleman.
My dear Admiral, one appreciates your patriotic spirit, of course. But you must believe me when I say that militarily, the situation is quite impossible. It would not be only futile, but criminal to resist.
I realize, of course, the city is bound to surrender. But what of the arsenal? Do you mean to tell me you're not going to defend that?
I'm afraid it would serve no useful purpose.
What of the honor of France?
I'm not prepared to sacrifice good lives to uphold a vague principle.
Vague principle, indeed. And if you won't do it, let me.
You?
Yes. I know I'm old, but by heaven, I can still fight. Let me call for volunteers. Give me a single company of brave men, and if we can't hold the arsenal, at least we'll be able to show the Boche how Frenchmen can die.
What you ask is quite impossible, my admiral.
So it goes on. For 3 days, the old admiral pesters the authorities. The maritime prefect, the commander of coast defenses, the chief of the gendarmes. But always, the answer is the same.
It's too late, my admiral.
There's nothing we can do. The Germans are too strong.
We wouldn't have a chance.
Then, early on the fourth day, comes the sound all Brest has dreaded. The first Nazi tanks rumble into the city. They come singly at the start, and then in an overwhelming, never-ending procession. Behind them come long lines of marching men. In his house on the hill, the old admiral watches the forces of occupation marching. For half an hour, he stands silently at the window, while column after column of strutting Germans passes. Then, his shoulders square with decision, and a new light comes into his tired old eyes.
Jack?
Yes, sir? What is it?
Bring me my full-dress uniform.
Your full-dress uniform?
Yes. Also my cross of the Legion of Honor.
Yes, sir.
My sword and my service pistol.
Oh, please, my admiral, not your service pistol. You'll be shot if the Germans find you carrying
it. My service pistol, I say, Jack.
Very good, sir.
20 minutes later, the admiral is dressed.
How do I look, Jock?
Every inch an admiral, sir. And may I ask what it is you propose to do?
You're an old sailor, Jock. It's a matter you will understand. It's a matter of the honor of the French Navy. It shall never be said that the great naval base of Brest surrendered without a shot being fired or a German slain.
Oh, I appreciate your sentiments, sir, but I repeat, what is it you propose to do?
I shall take the matter into my own hands. I shall go into the street, dressed as you see me now. And I shall shoot the first German I see. And the next.
But you'll be killed.
Yes, I realize I will. Goodbye, Jacques, my old friend.
Oh, please, my admiral, you mustn't do it.
Goodbye, Jacques.
Down the now deserted street walks the old admiral, erect and proud. One hand on his sword top, the other on his pistol. A German soldier steps out of a doorway to accost him.
Oh.
Round the corner, another grey-clad figure comes, running.
Oh.
From all directions they come pouring now, drawn by the shots. The admiral fires into the advancing horde, not haphazardly, but selecting his targets coolly and carefully. A Nazi swings his automatic rifle from the hip. The old admiral chokes convulsively as the lead tears through him. He sways and then collapses and falls in a crumpled heap. The lone defender of Brest. Out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind with stories that are...
enthralling.
Intriguing.
Exciting.
Romantic.
Mysterious.
Strange.
But true.